Greetings to the brightest audience in the country. I am Bob Enyart, the pastor of Denver Bible Church. Upcoming interviews, we should have Congressman Tom Tancredo, on the program tomorrow talking about illegal immigration. That is the issue that's propelled him to national recognition. Tom Tancredo, a pro-life politician from Colorado, has been in the U.S. House for some years now. And then also Juan Williams. We're thinking we'll have Juan Williams on Friday to discuss the war in Iraq generally. He's a liberal, often on NPR Radio and Fox News. And who else will we be interviewing coming up? Bob Kornacki with the Base Institute in Colorado Springs. He went to the mountains of northern Iran and just a few weeks ago and found what they believe may be the remnants of Noah's Ark. And he went there with quite an expedition team, including a geologist and Josh McDowell. So we'll be talking to Bob Kornacki about his expedition and what they found, an outcrop of what looks like dark rock, but it turns out that it's not dark rock, at least not all of it. A lot of it is petrified wood at 13,200 feet up on a mountain just south of the Caspian Sea. And we will be talking with Bob Kornacki about that. I just finished reading his book, Ark Fever, just last week. And the next day, ABC News reported the claim that some Christians think they may have found the remnants of Noah's Ark. So that'll be interesting to talk through that. And also, the scientist who we interviewed just, a month and a half ago? Dr. Ed Holroyd, who is a professor at DU, or is it Denver Metro State? Where does Ed Holroyd teach? And he teaches satellite image analysis. He teaches students how to read satellite imagery, photographs taken from satellites. And he is the one who found this location that this expedition has gone to. And so we'll be interviewing Ed Holroyd again real soon, specifically on this possible find of the remnant of Noah's Ark. Okay, now what else is in the news that we want to talk about? Oh, first off, militarily speaking, politically speaking, how do you turn an environmentalist into a hawk? Well, you talk about North Korea's Podunk 2 missiles. North Korea's Podunk 2 missile fell harmlessly into the drink. At least that's what the media is reporting. And I'd say harmlessly, unless you talk to the whales. It probably hit a whale right in the head. Never mind the dolphins that swim in the Sea of Japan. So to have a Podunk 2 missile crash into a whale's head, now I wouldn't call that falling harmlessly. We always have to consider how to present these news stories to get the environmentalist to become a little bit more right-wing. We need them to speak up against communist governments with weapons. Okay, what else is in the news? Oh, Superman. Superman Returns. It's not doing quite as well as at the box office as, for example, Spider-Man and X-Men in recent years. And why is that? One concern is that Superman, the question is Superman still American? Now, we know that the secular media has reported for the last couple months their questions of whether or not the director wanted this Superman to come across as a homosexual superhero. So that's one issue. But the other is Superman still American? The comic book came out in 1932, and ever since then, Superman has supported truth, justice, and the American way. That's what he's always fought to preserve. But in this film, Superman Returns, the actor, Frank Langella, he says that he's fighting for truth, justice, and all that stuff. And all that stuff, the writers of the movie have specifically said they wanted to downplay Superman as an American hero. So that, of course, is politically correct. And along with the secular media, wondering whether this Superman was a homosexual or not. I guess things like that might help to soften the box office revenue for the latest Superman Returns. What else is in the news? Oh, yeah, in Somalia. You know, Somalia, I debated a local Board of Education member years ago on Bobbinhurt Live, and he was saying the problem with Somalia is that it was overpopulated. And so it's really quite a funny debate, and we have a brochure, a pamphlet on overpopulation that we put out at Bobbinhurt Live. In fact, I think you can get it on our website at kgov.com under Bob's Writings. But I asked this Board of Ed member, Jack Fish, also a local columnist, I asked him, well, what is the population of Somalia? And he didn't know. And I said, well, you just wrote an article. You said that Somalia's problem is they're overpopulated. What is their population density? He didn't know. And that was just his knee-jerk reaction. You see, liberals, human beings are liabilities. And so they like to come up with ideas and principles for getting rid of and devaluing human beings, like abortion, euthanasia, legal suicide, and overpopulation. Too many blacks in Africa, so that's the problem in Africa. And actually, that's not the problem in Africa. It's not overpopulation. It's bad religion, for the most part, and bad government. But tragically, in Somalia, the government there has disappeared, and it's just a series of warlords and tribes who are fighting with each other for power. And now it's in the news, according to the Associated Press, that Islamic gunmen in Somalia shot and murdered two people who were watching a World Cup soccer broadcast. Now, I could understand people being angry at anybody for rooting for the French, but this is a little too much here. This is just devastating, actually. So Muslims in Somalia have banned watching television, and their jihadists pointed their guns. They warned a group of teenagers and a businessman. There's this businessman who was showing Tuesday's game. Actually, it was Germany against Italy. Italy won. And he had a satellite TV in his business. And he was showing the game, and a lot of teenagers were watching. And so these Muslim jihadists ordered the group to disperse, and they didn't. And so they shot and murdered the business owner and a teenage girl, killed for watching a soccer game in Somalia. And that's an example of what the world is up against in Islam, radical Islam. Okay. Makes you sort of rethink the Crusades. Okay, there's a lot more in the news, including a comatose man. He was comatose for 20 years, and now he's recovering because his brain is rewiring itself. That's rather extraordinary. Pretty neat story. And Iran's Jews do not recognize Israel, the legitimacy of the state of Israel. How's that? Jews in Iran, they've been there for 2,500 years. That's according to the Jerusalem Post. But right now, we've put in a call to Operation Rescue in Wichita, Kansas, because something rather extraordinary has happened there. So I want to go to the phones. Keith Mason. Keith, welcome to Bobbinhurt Live.
Hey, Bob, it's great to be back on with you.
Thank you so much. I heard the news. It's rather extraordinary news. In fact, it was announced at Denver Bible Church that Operation Rescue was purchasing an abortion clinic that closed down permanently in Wichita. What's up?
Well, that's exactly right. We're still in a mode of celebration out here for the news. A few months back, I think I was on with you talking about the decline in abortions out here.
In Wichita, which is the capital of abortion, I think, in Kansas, with George Tiller's late-term abortion clinic right there in that town. And then there's always been, for so many years, we've gone to Wichita to help with pro-lifers protest there for many years, since what, the late 80s, early 90s. And there's always been a second abortion clinic in Wichita that also Christians have tried to shut down.
There was, and Central Women's Services is the name of this clinic, and due to the decline of abortions, they just weren't able to keep up, and their business has been declining over the years. And in 1991, it was a place of a huge siege during the Summer of Mercy. I think you were telling me you were actually there.
That's right, and so were my sons, if I recall, Josiah and Nathaniel. In fact, Josiah was involved in the protest, even though he's a young kid. He's a pretty neat guy.
Yeah, that's great. So back then, it was the fight was we almost felt like we were losing back then, and the abortion industry seemed like they had the upper hand. But
well, it's because really the government worked to shut down the pro-life effort. Activism in Wichita,
right,
including Attorney General John Ashcroft. A while back, he filed a friend of the court brief on behalf of the abortion clinics to try to keep pro-lifers off the public sidewalk in front of the abortion clinics.
Right, the federal act that was passed by Janet Reno back in 91, the FACE Act, is
right,
what we call it back then. But the table seemed to have definitely turned out here, and it's really exciting. The abortion clinic went up for sale because they were behind on their rent. They weren't killing enough children and making enough money to pay their rent. And so the owner of the clinic decided to sell. And with some quick movement on Troy Newman's part out here, we were able to actually make an offer and get it accepted and buy this abortion clinic, and thereby evicting the tenants.
Wow. Now, Troy Newman is the director of Operation Rescue in Wichita.
Mm-hmm.
And so you guys found out that the owner, say that again, explain how that worked.
Well, the owner had put the building up for sale, partly due to the fact that the clinic, the abortion clinic, the business was behind on some of their rent payments, and due to various other reasons, we don't know. Probably, you know, they put the building up for sale.
So you guys bought it.
We bought it. Bought it through a third party, kind of secretively.
Now, Keith Mason, that's typical. Although this is an extraordinary example of the way pro-life activists have tried to be wise in their efforts to stop abortion, and buying the facility that an abortion clinic operates in is pretty wise and a pretty great move, and also doing it subtly, so you didn't come in as pro-lifers, but you say you did it through a third party. That's pretty brilliant.
Right, and it worked out very well. After the escrow proceedings had started, the clinic, the abortion clinic business had come up with their back rent and asked to re-sign a lease, and we firmly told them no, we wouldn't be willing to re-sign a lease with the abortion clinic. And great victory.
Now, so what's happened now that the property is owned by pro-lifers? This is a place where over the years thousands of babies were killed for money by the local abortionist.
That's right. You know, the business opened, this child-killing business opened the year my wife was born.
Wow.
And, you know, we estimate somewhere between 25 to 50,000 children have been killed in that facility over the past 20-some years. Mm. And so it's really tragic. But what was really startling to me is just the condition the clinic was operating in.
Yeah.
As I walked in, and earlier this week we had Mark Crutcher from Life Dynamics.
Oh, yeah, he's great.
We had him up shooting some video of the clinic, and this abortion was just so filthy and disgusting, and just the eeriness of the whole place is terrible. I've never actually been inside of an abortion clinic, a vacant abortion clinic that's been shut down before, and it's just really eerie and gross. So we want America to see that. So we the two things we're going to do with this clinic is we're going to convert part of it into an American Holocaust Museum and invite the public in to see what the average abortion clinic in America looks like.
Wow.
What does it look like when these facilities, you know...
What a great idea. Keith, we're talking to Keith Mason with Operation Rescue out of Wichita, Kansas. Keith, what a great idea to take an abortion clinic, Central Women's Services, and to turn it into a Holocaust museum. Wow.
Yeah, we felt like that would be the best thing that we could do with this facility. The other thing we were going to do with it is turn the other portion of the building into our corporate headquarters.
Oh, man. All right, so that Operation Rescue will be operating out of the now defunct facility used to kill babies. What a symbol of the persistence and the victories that God is helping pro-lifers achieve around the country.
That's right. We plan to redeem the building, really, and use it as a place where we can fight and protect life, a place that used to be completely dedicated and devoted to killing children.
Mm-hmm.
We're going to operate from there and use those facilities to further our mission in shutting down the abortion industry in America.
Wow. All right, so your offices will be there, and describe it again. What type of a memorial?
An American Holocaust memorial. There's been nearly 50 million children killed through abortion in this country, and so this will just serve as a symbol to that, so that we can all remember what has taken place, and just to educate people in the future. I think people are still fairly ignorant in a lot of ways of what these places are like. These shabby, disgusting abortion clinics that are just the term back alley abortion.
Right.
It gets a whole new meaning when you see this place.
The
women had to enter actually through the back alley and the back door, and they would enter this place, and it was so foul and just terrible conditions, and you wouldn't want to take your dog to get his veterinarian checkup at this place.
So
they were doing surgical procedures.
So in Wichita, Kansas, Operation Rescue buys and closes an abortion mill there. And then also in Omaha, Nebraska. Now, we've talked about different abortion clinics that have closed in the past year, but we haven't mentioned this one. Women's Services has closed down. Now, their property, and this is on your website, operationrescue.org, the property was purchased by the University of Nebraska Medical Center, and they gave this abortion clinic several months to find new offices, but it turns out that the mill was unable to find a property owner who would lease to them, and they closed the mill.
That's right.
That's another extraordinary story, and that story comes to us through veteran pro-lifer Larry Donlan, and it turns out, Keith, that these pro-lifers who are putting in the time, as in going maybe 2 hours a week, but they're doing it week in and week out, month in and month out, year after year, that's actually hurting the abortion industry's ability to continue to kill kids.
That's right. That's right. Saving children. And you save children, that means less profit for them, because they profit off of the killing of children. And that's
right.
We should always remember that. And so when we dry their business up, which is what we really ultimately want to do, we want to save the lives of these children.
Right.
We also help to dry up their business and shut them down completely.
Yeah, like at Denver Bible Church, again, we report almost on a weekly basis how many babies have been saved from the abortionist, the Planned Parenthood in Denver at 20th and Vine. And those are confirmed saves. And every time we save a baby, that's maybe $600 less that Planned Parenthood is getting. But you know how much we get for every baby we save? Nothing, of course. We're doing this not for the money, but because God said to love your neighbor, and you're going to want to do whatever you can to stop your neighbor from killing her baby. And, of course, for the baby also, and for the society that allows the killing of children. But so when we save these babies, we don't get any money for it, but we do take that money away from the abortion industry, and they use that money to further entrench child killing in America.
That's right. And so, really, being in this clinic has really shown me just how focused on money they are. They care nothing for women. They just picked up everything, and once the money dried up in this place, they just left. Mm-hmm. They left. They didn't care. They left their phone lines on, and actually, the first day that we were in there, women were calling trying to obtain abortions.
They left their phone lines on, Keith?
Yes. Yeah. They didn't care. They cared nothing.
That's just extraordinary. So what happened? Of course, they have Yellow Page ads out, and they've been known for decades now. Over how many years?
1983, the clinic opened.
Uh-oh.
Just over 20 years, 23 years or so.
Uh-oh, Keith, this is bad. We just told everyone on the radio how old your wife is.
Oh.
But Jennifer's young enough. I don't think she minds yet.
Not yet. Not yet. That's... You're not archiving this show, are you?
Oh, yeah. Right. We will at kgov.com. Yeah. But so for 23 years, so their advertisements are out there, and you guys moved in and plugged in phones?
The phone. They left their phones hooked up. They left files in their filing cabinets. They left numbers of the health department and different people that they were in business with. They just left the place. They just upped and walked out. Mm. They left filth and dirt everywhere, desks, and they just left it.
Mm-hmm.
And there's a really great crisis pregnancy center. It's actually a medical center called Choices Medical Center here in Wichita. They're located right next to George Tiller's abortion facility.
Right, exactly. That's another extraordinary thing that happened by the Christians in Wichita. They purchase the facility right next to one of the biggest abortion clinics in the country, and they open a crisis pregnancy center literally right next door adjacent to George Tiller's abortion place.
Right. So and they're a phenomenal ministry, and they've saved thousands of lives. And so for a while there, until they printed it on the front page of the newspaper here in Wichita, when women would call this abortion clinic, they would actually be calling Choices Medical Center, because we forwarded the phone line.
That's just tremendous, Keith.
It's been a great time out here, and we're looking forward to just putting George Tiller out of business, even still. Mm. He's under a grand jury investigation, and we're just in a good place.
Mm-hmm. All right. Well, Keith Mason, thank you so much for joining us.
Thanks, Bob, for having me on, and God bless. And
all right, and
God
so for more information, the website?
OperationRescue.org, and give us a call, too. Our 800 number's on the website.
All right. God bless you, Keith.
Thank you. God bless.
Okay, appreciate that. That was Keith Mason. We're almost out of time, but this is what we pro-lifers do. Now, all Christians should be involved in some way. Not all Christians need to protest at an abortion clinic, but God has not given us the latitude to be apathetic when children are being murdered in our communities and say, well, I don't care, or I don't need to do anything, or it's not my problem. It is our problem. God in the Bible says, if you know that innocent people are being killed, it is your problem. What is that, Deuteronomy chapter 21? Where God considers it your problem if it's happening in your community. And so we do what we can. On July 4th, we went to the abortionist home, Edward Patrick O'Loughlin, and he has killed babies at Planned Parenthood for years in Denver. And we went to his home, just like we did, what was it, on Father's Day, a number of people from Denver Bible Church after church. We said, hey, let's go to the abortionist home and discourage medical students from becoming abortionists. And so we've been going to this home for, what, 12 years or more? I forget how many years, 15 years on holidays, usually 8 holidays every year, often including Christmas, Easter, Thanksgiving. And that's pretty tough. You know, on Father's Day, we had, 20-some people out there. And this July 4th, I think we only had about a dozen or so. But including a huge truth truck that we borrowed from Colorado Right to Life. And you park that in the neighborhood, and you got signs, and you walk around the neighborhood for an hour, letting people know that there's an abortionist who lives in this neighborhood. It's wrong to kill unborn children. And two women in the neighborhood were walking by, and they said, oh, well, how about incest? How about being raped, a girl who's raped? And we pointed out, when you kill the baby of a rapist, then Planned Parenthood sends the girl home with the rapist for her to be raped again. That's what happens when the public policy toward rape and incest, a baby whose father is a criminal, when the public policy is you kill the baby, you should kill the rapist, the man who commits incest against his niece or daughter. That's the one who should be executed, not the innocent baby. But when society kills the baby, they protect the rapist. And Planned Parenthood, you think they call the police and they say, we think we got a young girl here, a 13-year-old girl in for a second abortion, and the man raping her is 23 years old. You think they call the police? They don't call the police. It's their national policy. They don't call the police. So when they talk about abortion for rape or incest, what they're talking about is helping the rapist by covering up his crime and sending the girl back with the man who raped her. That's what they're talking about. That's liberalism. You kill the baby and you protect the rapist. Christians who study the Bible, they support killing the convicted murderer rapist and protecting the innocent baby. Liberals support killing the baby and protecting the murderer rapist. You see the difference between conservatives and liberals? That is, conservative Christians who study the Bible and typical liberals. A liberal will kill the innocent baby and protect the guilty murderer rapist. And a Christian will say, let's protect the innocent baby and kill the convicted murderer rapist. God says, do not profane me, killing people who should not die and keeping people alive who should not live. Denver Bible Church, that's where we meet every Sunday morning, Sunday evening, and you're cordially invited to attend Denver Bible Church. Sunday school is 9:30 in the morning. I think you'll love it. 11 o'clock for church. And then in the evening, 6 o'clock Sunday night Bible study. And Maranatha Christian Center in Arvada. Now that's where Denver Bible Church meets. And so I also want to tell you that school is simply the best Christian school I've ever seen. So check out Maranatha Christian Center and our website, kgov.com.